Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, thank you so much for joining me this week. My motivational quote today is by Ellen Page, and she says, "When we're growing up, there are all sorts of people telling us what to do, when really what we need is space to work out who to be." Now, do you feel you have a voice, and do you feel like you're heard? Do you feel like you have a seat at the table, or maybe not? Women are fairly new, I think, in the business world, but we've come so far, so fast. Some might say we are undervalued and underpaid, while others may say, well, it's up to you to forge your own path of success. No matter the viewpoint you personally hold, what are the solutions to help women play bigger, be heard so we're part of the innovation and are able to earn our spot at the table? Well, today we have an expert on this topic, and my guest is Deborah Hardy. And Deborah is a relationship coach who teaches women how to find their voice by learning how to actually treasure ourselves first. She's an entrepreneur and the creator of Love Ops, love that name, Love Ops training for women who want to attract and who want to attract the right relationships into our lives. In addition, Deborah is a lifelong student of meditation and spirituality. So with that, please help me welcome my wonderful guest today, Deborah Hardy. So Deb, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Connie. It's an honor to be here with you again.
Yes, it's always a pleasure. We always have a lot of fun, and I think we get into some really good content about, and I think, Deb, I know we're speaking about women today, but guys, I know I have some men listeners. I just think that it helps everybody find their voice. In addition, if men have daughters or wives or sisters or partners who can't find their voice, maybe you'll find some insight today, right?
Right, absolutely. So because
we're all, I think, the most significant
struggles that women are facing today, and men are part of this transition as well, is that we're moving out of the age of the mind. And that transition started in 2012 when the Mayan calendar ended. It was actually a really significant moment. And we stepped into the age of oneness, a golden age of really incredible transformation. And that's what we're experiencing right now, is the end of patriarchy, where as a society and as a culture, we have put men in charge. And they have used their masculine qualities, some beautiful and some have been destructive, in managing how we do business in the world. Oftentimes we have forsaken really kindness and love for the benefit of the bottom line and for profit. So we're experiencing a really great opportunity for women in business, for men in business, because as women have really, since the sexual revolution, started to increase their masculine qualities of focus and drive and accomplishment, we have tried to be a better man, and that hasn't totally worked well. So as we begin to nourish more feminine qualities in business and in our personal lives, of receiving, of love and kindness in those softer areas, then that's really the challenge that we are up against today, is to really value those principles of being in your feminine energy as well. And that goes for men too.
I was just going to say that it can absolutely affect men as well. And I think when leaders who are male or men, when they, and I don't want to say manage with a softer hand, that's really not the truth, but I think when they take the time to listen and they take the time to build a team and use some of those softer skills, they're the ones who become even, I think, more successful, because people follow them because they're such good leaders at the core. Whether men or women, they inspire right. people to want to do better, follow them, and be productive and all of those things. What do you think is the most significant struggle women are facing today in the business world? Maybe it's men and women, Deb, I don't know, but let's say women right now.
I think the biggest thing that we're facing is that it's more of a masculine quality to be competitive and fight for position. And I think that women who adopt that softer side of themselves and really honor who they are, give themselves that value, understand that they are the divine essence of feminine beauty and creativity and walking the planet now, that if we can incorporate more of those qualities that can contribute to the larger whole. So I think what one of the challenges has been is that competitive nature. And in that competitive nature, sometimes we see the small picture. We get into a struggle, a conflict with another person, and that becomes our focus. And we're busy squabbling over a piece of pie in a little corner, and we're not seeing the larger picture of what we're here to contribute, to be collaborative in creating a world where everyone is family, where everyone is exalted. So I think that sometimes we don't see the opportunity because of that internal conflict.
But I think, you know, what you just described, I was really listening, Deb, and I think men have the same fears and issues, and we think small so that we start micromanaging for fear of loss of control. But I see that with men and women. I don't think this is just an issue for women. I think we are all afraid to share our voice, our opinion, our thoughts for fear of the big boss not liking it, or for fear of what if they think less of me. So I think men maybe have a little more confidence than women, just because men, let's face it, Deb, men have been playing this game a heck of a lot longer than women have, right? We're newbies to the business world, right? So they just have so much more experience. But lately I find that men and women are tentative when sharing their true opinion in a situation, in a meeting, just for fear of saying the wrong thing, being politically incorrect, whatever the issues are. So are you finding that as well? We're talking women, but are you finding that to be the case with men as well?
Yes, because we're both opening up to our feminine side.
Yes.
Culturally, we have repressed the feminine essence within each of us. As we know, there's feminine and masculine qualities within mm-hmm. each person. So men are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I have really deep feelings of grief and sorrow, but our society's really been shutting down that grief and that sorrow from men expressing that openly. And oftentimes we as women don't like it when men really share their intimate, deep feelings with us, especially when, you know, to see a man cry is just such a rare, beautiful gift for women. And oftentimes we're like, oh man, you know, like he broke down. Like that's absurd. We should all be grieving what we're, our losses and what we're going through as a culture, because it is sad where we have been coming from, that we have suppressed so much of ourselves. So men too are learning to, my husband teaches a work that inspires men to really emote their feelings and express themselves so they can have their hearts flower as well.
You know, that's interesting. My husband and I are married almost 27 years. January would be 27 years. It feels like 5 years. I'm telling you, I loved every minute of it. Happily married, I would like to say. Shout out to my wonderful husband. But during that time, it was interesting. When we first got married, he would keep stupid things from me, okay? If there was trouble at work, meaning he had a really bad day, or the person he reported to micromanaging. You know, we've all experienced good. We've had good managers, bosses, bad, right? We've all experienced it. Well, in the beginning, we first got married, Deb, like, he wouldn't tell me anything. And I would say, like, what's up? You're not in a good mood today. Or you came home, you're really, really quiet. It's not like you. And he would just, I'm tired. So finally, I remember one night, we got in bed. We were probably married maybe 6 to 8 months, and we get in bed, and I said to him, all right, you don't want to be married anymore. What's going on? You're not right. There's something radically wrong. Cause I feel people's emotions pretty intensely. So I said, what's going on? If you don't want to be married, say it now, let's end it. Cause I'm not living my life like this. This is bad. You know, when you feel you can't talk to me. And he let it all out. It was a problem at work. The manager was just giving him a really hard time, and yada, 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 all the things that we've all experienced. And my response was, quit. He looked at me and he said, what? And I said, we can afford to live on my income. We were saving, we were renting at the time. We were saving to purchase a home. I said, so we don't buy a house immediately. We can live on my salary, certainly, and still put a little money away. Quit. Go find a job you like. He was so thrown by that. Like, what are you talking about? And I said, if this is a marriage, it's a partnership. I can't live a life where you're holding back from me about something stupid like work. Like, to me, that to be unhappy because of someone else, you're allowing that. Well, it's been 27 years, almost 27 years, Deb, and we're still working on it. You know, it's hard. It's hard for humans to become vulnerable. Forget about intimate relationships like husband and wife or partners. But at work, I think it's even harder to become vulnerable like that. So emotions are real. But I think based on like what we're talking about today, for me, it really boils down to that ability to communicate, to share my voice in a respectful manner that takes the other person's feelings into account as well. You know, that's my belief, at least.
Yes, I agree. And I think once we can get beyond those personal emotional upsets at work and look to what we can create, look to what we can transform, because I think it's a challenge for businesses now to exalt the employees, to exalt one another, to really nourish and foster an environment of collaboration and creativity, as well as look beyond the bottom line of profit to then contribute to the larger world, because we are all one family. Even though if we have, you know, John Lennon said it so beautifully, imagine there's a world with no borders, with no countries, right? And so what he was looking at is there's nothing to defend. There's just, how do we exalt each other? So I think businesses as a whole have a responsibility to contribute to this transformation that we're going into. We're going into the age of oneness. So how can we walk past the people who are suffering and just be so focused on the bottom line that we have blinders to that suffering? So yeah, I agree.
It's interesting too, because, you know, my background is sales, right? Financial sales specifically. So every time I'm with someone, and it doesn't even have to be me in a sales environment, but just me with friends, family, whatever, and they'll start talking about different situations in their business or where they work, and I immediately put on my productivity hat, right, or sales hat. And I think, well, why don't you get your team together? Why don't you ask people what are their hardships in life and how can we as a team maybe support each other? Now, yes, you have to leave your ailments or your issues at home. And when you get to work, you know, kind of put your work mindset on. But on the same token, we are one person. So if there's stuff going on at home, child's really sick, how do you go into work and not let your peers and the people you work with or your work family know that my child is really, really sick? I don't know how I'm going to get through today. And let people rally around you. Let them help you laugh. Let them help you be productive at work so that you don't have to forget about your kid being sick, but that you can incorporate and get support in every aspect of your life. We're so afraid, I think, of just showing who we are. And it's funny, recently, I don't know where I was, but someone saw me at work, obviously, and then they saw me in a personal environment, like we knew the same people and we were at a party, you know, a personal party. Uh-huh. They came over to me after and they I saw them at work, one of my clients, and they said, you know, it was weird. And I'm like, okay, what? And they're like, you're always the same. And I said, I don't know what that means. And they said, well, I was watching you in the personal and the party, right, with friends and family. And then I watch you at work and you're always the same. I go, yes, I'm a goofball, right? I don't know how to be any other way. So, but shouldn't we always be our authentic self and not put on these facades? Again, you leave your baggage at home and come with a positive attitude and show up every day to do your best. But I feel like we are not authentic at work. And do you find that with your clients as well, that we feel we have to hide?
I think some people do, absolutely. Some people really need to conform in ways that's really against their heart. And you know, then I think that kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, how that hiding and that repression feels like then we need to lash out or declare war with someone else at work instead of seeing the larger picture.
So what can women do to change this whole thing and absolutely find our seat at the table and find our voice and all of those things? But I think also to be accepted by our men colleagues. What can we do to change the whole thing?
Well, I think that the first step is to being really incredibly honest about where we personally are in relationship to other people at business. It's like answering the question, it's like, are you having arguments and grudges and, you know, emotional upset day after day with the same people? Are you able to exalt that person and maybe perhaps appreciate them even when there's conflict there, to maybe soften that relationship so then you can see the greater whole and really understand what your purpose is then in contributing to the business so that you can contribute more and more of really the essence of who you are. What, like, why were you really hired? And do you see things that can be changed? Or is there another creative way that you can be contributing that you didn't, you weren't really necessarily hired for? So I think that once you're honest and you learn really what, I think all people need to study what is codependence and create a really healthy dialogue with their inner child so that they're not always bringing their inner child wounding to work and to relationship. And, you know, get a coach. There's so many great coaches on the planet that can help with the transition of moving into our beautiful feminine essence, both for men and for women. And I think all of those things can really help contribute to a better work environment.
Can you define for everybody listening, what are characteristics? We're talking about, again, tapping into our inner child and all that baggage that we have from when we're little, right? That child's reaction, and then we hold those beliefs and they come out through anger because they're part of our subconscious, right? So what Right. characteristics do you want leaders, women leaders, maybe even male leaders to have? What can you give examples of what that transition would actually look like, somebody viewing from the outside? What would that look like?
We've already been talking about a lot of them, but I think that bringing that feminine essence of love and kindness to organizations is really incredibly powerful. You know, we're the creators on the planet. We give life to children and birth new paradigms. And I think that bringing our creative abilities to business is really wonderful. I also love this idea of exalting and appreciating verbally those people that you work with, because that up-levels them. It starts to be contagious on a team of people. And I think that can be really powerful. Being inclusive and collaborative. And also, again, looking at the bigger picture. What is the business's purpose? How can the business go beyond the bottom line and contribute to our larger world?
Yeah, and that's the reality, isn't it? That to make our world a better place, and that we leave something for our kids and our grandkids and our, you know, great grandkids yet to come. It's funny, as you were describing that, exalt and use kindness and say maybe kind things to people to help them build on their own personal strength. Sometimes we don't see our own strength because we're quick to put we are our own worst enemy, right? That record, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough, whatever it might be. It reminded me when I first started my business 17 years ago, Deb, I did this exercise to get people to know each other, because I was in an organization. It wasn't a mixed organization. It was a company, which is what I usually do. I go into a company and help them build cultures. Anyway, it was 17 years ago, and one of the exercises I did is I handed out envelopes and index cards. And I said to everyone in the class, by the end of the day, you have to observe people and write down something positive that you observed from that person. And it could be they have great hair if you have nothing else, but it has to be positive. It cannot be derogatory. And so I hand that out. And at the end, I would say, okay, now you have, everybody has an envelope, everybody's index card. You have a name for each person. Hand them out what your kind observation was. And it was interesting how people would, and the funny thing is they could have left, right? They could have left with their index cards after they do the evaluation. They didn't have to stay and read them. They always stayed and read them, which I thought was adorable. But they would read them, and then they would go to that person who said something kind about something they didn't even realize they had done that day. Maybe it was listening really intently and asking a very important question to the person, right? So this deep, it was like a deep dive of getting to know each other. The other, which I loved that whole experience. I'm going to start doing this exercise again, I think. It's funny because I think we're losing kindness in the world, and we're very disrespectful. Anyway, so now at the end of the class, they handed me index cards. That was not part of the objective. I didn't put an envelope, Connie Whitman. You had to put Connie Whitman's name. Wasn't that the coolest? Do you know, 17 years that I've done this exercise, I have it on my desk. I can see them from here. And when I'm having a bad day, I'll pull them out and just read the kind words, because people get you, right? People really get me. I think they do anyway. And yeah. And when I read those cards, it's true of who I am to this day, that I am kind, that I listen, that I truly care about people's success. All of these things they wrote, it was mind-blowing, but it was really lovely that they thought to write those cards to me when, again, that wasn't part of the instruction. So I think we know how to show kindness and be kind. I don't think we're always given the opportunity in a day because it's, what have you done? Did you meet the deadline? Did you do this? And we're on that treadmill of running because we have so much going on in our life. So do you find that's the case almost where we forget to exalt people, to your point that you made before, that we forget because we're running at a bazillion miles an hour.
Right. I think, you know, looking back on, because I'm a really great appreciator, and having built that muscle over time consistently gives me the, you know, I can really hand out an appreciation because I become observant more and more of what people are doing. And I think that if one person starts that tradition, for example, in my family, I used to do circles where at a birthday, we would all appreciate the birthday girl or the birthday guy. And then it kind of fell by the wayside until one of my nieces asked me, I'd like to have a birthday circle. And I said, great, that's great. So now my family, because of that, because I planted a seed long ago, they now, every time we get together and have someone's birthday, we do an appreciation circle. And it's so tender and so heartwarming. And I think it just starts with a few people making that a priority because it's so important. We're all walking around with complete, absolute deficit. Thank you. Deficit of being underappreciated. All of us, and especially men, need our beautiful appreciations from women in romantically. And so, you know, you don't want to appreciate someone inappropriately in a business situation, but in business is an incredible opportunity to appreciate a job well done. And oftentimes that's not given. And so you can even just start to give your coworkers or your team appreciations because it goes so far to advance that team into a team that can contribute beautifully to the world.
Yeah, and we're not saying don't be authentic, meaning, oh, I have to give a compliment today. Oh, Deb, that was a great interview. You know, and you didn't mean it, right? It's just false accolades just because, oh, I didn't make my accolade. I didn't give somebody a kudos today. Totally not what we're saying. It's something that you observe. And I think that's, you said it before, Deb, and I agree. We have to become more observant in what's going on with other people in our space, et cetera, especially with ourselves and how we respond to situations. We need to observe self as well as others. But giving a really nice compliment to someone of, thanks for coming in early to help me set up for the meeting. That was so you. That was so cool of you, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be anything grandiose is what you're saying, right? It's just the little things that add up to the big. But make it a habit to observing kindness and respect in the workplace. And all of a sudden, you find more often than not more ways to say thank you, great job, versus, you know, you stink, or, you know, you didn't pull your weight today, or what's wrong with you? We can shift that paradigm of thinking. And I think that's beautiful.
Yes. And I think that it's really important on the opposite end of that, that we receive all compliments beautifully, that we don't shove them off. Oh, it was nothing. Or, you know, you could have done a better job. We should always receive so graciously. That's part of the feminine essence, is to be able to receive. And so when someone does give a compliment, receiving graciously needs to be part of our repertoire too.
It is hard to receive. I know when people say, oh, that was a great class. And I'll say, oh, really? And I think, why did I do that? Take the compliment that they felt they learned something. They, you know, we had fun, but they learned something that they can now go back and use, you know, in their business life or even in their personal life. And we do, we discount ourselves, which again, it's learned behavior. It's hard, Deb. It's hard to love ourselves, right? Because we're not taught that. We're taught that that's braggadocious and, you know, they're obnoxious that they love themselves, right? We're kind of taught the opposite.
I think that it's been hard up until now. Because the feminine is blasting wide open. And as we all become intellectually more aware of it, and then we have an experience of it, then we're going to catch the wave and all be riding it. And so I think that we live in a really incredible transformative time. A time of really great change. And it's all good. It's all good. Because, and we need to focus on that. Because the age of oneness is marching forward, whether we know it or not. And these little tiny practices that you can do to really become knowledgeable about your inner child, to be less codependent. Because codependence means an overgiving, and then we're pissed about it. We're angry about being overgiving because we're not receiving enough. So all these little things that we've been talking about really contribute to this transformation that we all want to see in the world.
Yeah, I love it. You're right. And again, little steps, right, Deb? Start with complimenting, you know, a family member. I loved your inner circle and I love that your niece said to you, hey, can we do that again? I kind of like it. I kind of miss it. So sometimes the kids are fond of something and we let it go to the wayside and then they bring it back. So kids really, I think, share the innocence and the importance of it for us because we forget, because we're adults and we have responsibilities and we have to do this and we have to do that. So we forget about just giving to our inner selves, our inner child and those around us. So I love all of your little tips. Again, simple, stupid works, right? We don't have to make this a complex process at all.
Right.
Yeah. Guys, if you would like to connect with Deb, I'm going to give you her website. It's www.loveops, so it's L-U-V, love that, L-U-V-ops.com. If you'd like to reach out to Deb directly, ask her questions, or start a dialogue, go to her email, which is Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, at loveops.com, and she will get back to you. If you guys have questions for me or you want me to cover a topic on the show that maybe I haven't covered, I will find an expert and share it with you, certainly. Reach out to me directly at connie@whitmanassoce.com, and I will respond to that personally. Also, my partner and I, today, Deborah and I were talking about communication, right, at the core of how we communicate, how we show up, or how we don't show up. If you go to, my partner and I have a business called Wisdom Decoded. If you go to wisdomdecoded.com, you could take your free communication style assessment and you get your own little personal report on your strengths, superpowers, as well as some of your hidden blind spots. And we give you little recommendations on those reports of maybe how to improve how you show up or how people perceive you in the world. So again, wisdomdecoded.com, right on the landing page, is the free communication style assessment. Deb, thank you so much for being on. I will put the email and the website on the Web Talk Radio or Enlightenment of Change platform so people can find you. A lot of people listen to us while they're driving. So thank you so much for your insight and for sharing that it's okay for us to all feel that feminine vibe, male and female, and that that female essence really is what's going to take us to the next level in the next decade and beyond. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Connie. It's been an honor to be here.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure hanging out with you. So thanks. Thanks again.
Likewise.
Yeah. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and realize that it's possible. And usually it starts with one little baby step. We can all do it. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Deb. Thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I thank you all. I wish you a wonderful, change-filled week, whatever that means for you, as well as being inspired. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great week.